Oh, breaking news report. We had to change the title of the show to P. Diddy Diddler's Home being raided by the FBI and DHS. That's happening live. We'll keep you lively updated all night. This is the Failure to Stop podcast, Uncuffed Monday, society and culture news with comedian and former police officer J. Darrell White, comedian Margaret Owens. We're in the house. We just got done watching Eyes Wide Shut. No, what was it? What was it called?
Quiet on the set.
Speaking of diddlers, quiet on the set. We've also got some weird news about Mark Wahlberg and Forrest Gump. What else we got, Deadleg, real quick?
Oh, the cop that...
Oh, Laverne. The Laverne slut who just got paid out tons of money for being herself. Awesome. All this and more on today's Failure to Stop's Uncuff Monday. Hit it, Joshua.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
Yeah, dude, could you imagine being the manager, like the city mayor, and we're like, we got to pay this ugly bitch $500,000.
She wanted to give up her ass.
Yo, what? That was mean. Was I muted on that? I wasn't muted. No, I'm just kidding. I knew I wasn't muted. I said it. I own it. I own what I say. I say what I own. Got a live chat already. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show. Mike Dutcher, Michael Hendricks, Will Craig.
Bonita. David J.
Hey, Bonita.
Who? Oh, Bonita.
Aunt Margaret. No, y'all. Hey.
Bonita.
Margaret's cousins. Bonita Morgan. Whole family on. Hey, other.
That one I was trying to imagine how she talked last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bonita Morgan. Ben Allen. Says, uh-oh, Diddy getting diddly. Puff Daddy gonna ride in the paddy. Oh, wow, he's got a lot. Sean John getting his Epstein on. Shiny suit, man. Got kids boot, man. In prison, Buffy gonna be stuffy.
They gave him too much time. Ooh. They ain't gonna find shit.
Dude,
they done gave him too much time.
Is Ben Allen white? You think Ben Allen
his ass white? Is a billionaire. He already know they coming to his house to raid it. He done got rid of all the evidence.
You think so?
Yeah, hell yeah. He done been getting away with it all this long, and they done gave him enough. Believe me, he a billionaire.
Yeah.
He daggone done. He got, there's some officers or somebody done slipped up and done
what happened
to him, and he done got
that. What got happened whatever. To the last billionaire that got wrapped up in this sex trafficking? What's the last billionaire that got wrapped up in sex trafficking, and what happened to him?
About, what's his name? Weinstein?
Epstein.
Didn't he kill himself?
Yeah. Well, allegedly.
He was weak. He was a weak punk motherfucker. That's what he
but
was.
But I'm saying he's a billionaire and he went to prison.
He took his
you don't
own
think
life.
Diddy goes to prison?
Oh, shit. If he do, he's not going to be out there in the public. I mean, he's going to be in PC. He still got his money.
Think
I don't give a damn how long he been, but he's still going to have his money. So he's still going to be, there's going to be guards. That's going to show him favoritism.
Epstein didn't get any of that.
Epstein wasn't into music, was it?
No. Oh, so you think music's different?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
You think R. Kelly, even though R. Kelly done messed with all them girls, you think they beating him up and punking him in prison? No.
You don't think they're loving him from dusk till dawn?
He's making phone calls to their girlfriends and their female. Do you mind if I seen you somehow? You know, doing those little girl like R. Kelly singing to you. He going, you know, Valentine's Day.
Button is a federal prison.
But yeah.
There's another guy down there that did some Button. Money laundering or something. He's down there. Older guy. Yeah. I think his name.
Yeah.
He's down there too.
But see, even though R. Kelly don't have the money like a P. Diddy, he has talent.
I want to.
He has that talent
and
everything, and that's what is surviving. That's how he's surviving in prison because of his talent.
Yo.
Who he is? He's the king. They consider him the king of R&B. Those guys are protecting him.
You probably got people running up to him. What you got to think about this man?
Right.
So he's got a lot of allegations on him. Now he's wrapped up right now. For those of you who are new to the P. Diddy saga, here he is caught up in a sex trafficking scandal this time. Now this has been growing since take a look at this clip right here, because we covered this on this show this exact interview. Let's go back to it and see what we learned a few weeks ago.
It's God's side and the other side. And we don't care nothing about the other side. Period. Period. All of these big deviants is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Diddy or whoever you is, T.G. Jakes, any of them. All lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way. The truth is the light.
See, and Louis kind of teased around, like wanting to know, like, what, like, is this guy just bad? Is Cat Williams just lost his mind? Is he dumb? Is he crazy? But I mean, he literally said P. Diddy. And who else did he say?
Bishop TDK.
Oh, and you said that before the show, before you saw that clip today and were reminded of it, you mentioned to, I don't know.
Oh, about raiding his chicken house.
Yeah, you think they're gonna check his house too?
If they say birds of a feather flock together, because sometimes you be with somebody you don't really flock with them. I mean, you don't really mean you're really not birds of a feather. You just around them. But if that's true, what they're saying about him, he may have something in his home too. But if it's not true, then he ain't got nothing to worry about.
I don't know. I think this is getting spicy. It's heating up. You know, P. Diddy's probably gonna. Now, do you think P. Diddy snitches to get out of a little bit of this? Do you think he takes a plea deal and snitches on a bunch of other people with this whole sex trafficking thing? Now, listen, let me ask you this too. Let me compound it with this too, Jay. We've been talking about Hollywood pedophiles. We just watched a crazy a Nickelodeon special thing here. Do you think that this sex trafficking by Diddy, do you think it goes way deeper than Diddy, and does he expose more of it to save his own ass?
I don't think it's gonna go deeper. He's the main dude. I mean, he's the multi. I mean, he's like worth almost $1 billion, if not over $1 billion, right. And he's responsible for a lot of careers in music, a lot of big, big music, and he has that power. He has that power. And I hate to talk about the dude because, you know,
innocent until proven guilty type
situation. Well, if he did what all he did, then yeah, he's fucked up. But the thing is, he did these to grown people though. These are adults that he's doing this to. The other stuff that we were talking about was kids. Oh, the kids didn't know no better. I think the parents, like R. Kelly did stuff with young girls that was underage, right, and their parents was there allowing them to do it. You know, not saying what he was doing was right, but I mean, it's that power. It goes back. Was he drugging them, or was they just freely giving up the ass and doing whatever?
Right.
Because they figure, oh, I do this with Diddy. He's the man. He's the one that can give my career. Or
they don't get the career. They kind of,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. See, with Bill Cosby was accused of giving women, you know, lure them up there for the, I'm gonna be an actress. He's gonna recommend it in that, and then he put something in their drink, get them all drugged up, and then he have sex with them. See, is Diddy being accused of that? That I don't know. Is he being accused of drugging people and sexually assaulting them, or is he doing this willingly?
I'll go over some of the allegations here.
So it's in 2022, he was worth $1 million. But this year, in February, he's worth $800 million.
$800 million. I'm going to give you a quick timeline really quick. This is coming from NPR. By the way, today's show brought to you by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack, FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack50, and The Wellness Company, promo code Wolfpack, ad reads later on. 1990, Combs starts his music industry career as an intern at Uptown Records. 1991, he had a lawsuit. Combs and the R&B singer Aaron Hall allegedly sexually assault an unnamed victim and friend after a music event. This is when he's pretty much a nobody. Right. Then beat her several days later when confronted. Now, remember the old P. Diddy thing where he blew up the dude's car?
And videotapes.
Oh, so hold on. Then we got 1991, a lawsuit. Combs allegedly drugs and sexually assaults, and videotapes 19-year-old Joy Dickerson after going on a date with him. In 93, after he was fired from his duties at Uptown Records, Combs starts his own label, Bad Boy Records. The label grows in popularity, notoriety over the course of the decade, breaking the careers of Craig Mack, Notorious B.I.G., Mace, Lox, Faith Evans, and more. 96, Combs found guilty of criminal mischief for threatening a photographer with a gun. In 98, Combs starts throwing his annual Hamptons all-white parties that come to be known as so lavish and exclusive, he earns the rep of being a modern-day Gatsby. Guests range from music industry execs, so that's when he's kind of having those, like, sex party orgy type things that people allege he did. April 16th, 99, Combs is arrested and charged with two felonies, second-degree assault, criminal mischief, and beating of record executive Stephen Stout, who says Combs and two bodyguards beat him with their fists, a telephone, a champagne bottle, and a chair. Combs apologized. Stout asked for the charges to be dismissed, and he reportedly paid out $500,000. The assault charges dropped. Combs pleads guilty to a lesser charge of harassment. All right. December 99, Combs, along with his girlfriend Jennifer Lopez and rapper Cheyenne, are arrested in relation to a shooting at a club in New York. Now, I didn't know that him and J-Lo were involved in a shooting.
It's Cheyenne or Shine?
Shine. That was very white of me. I'm sorry. Shine are arrested in relation to a shooting at a nightclub. I didn't know that. We'll have to talk about that in a second. The first season of Making the Band airs on MTV in 2000. 2001, he's got another assault charge. 2003... gang raped an unnamed 17-year-old victim in his Manhattan recording studio. I remember that.
Basically, what you're going down is, you see how long it goes all the way back to 1991.
Right, when he wasn't a nobody.
But he was up and coming. When he got the Craig Mack, Notorious B.I.G., Faith Evans, when he got those artists and they all blew up at the same time, he started, of course, his money started getting longer. Right. He started branching out. Sean John clothing line.
Ciroc, the alcohol, all that stuff.
So when you look at his net worth.
But I mean, a lot of these things he's guilty of. Like, he's already pleaded guilty and paid out.
Well, see, that's what exactly. The money. He got the money. Because not one of those have you said how much time he served.
Right, none. Nothing.
You know what I'm saying?
But he said something about an assault on a guy. I mean, he said him.
Here's 2006. Ventura signed 10 album deal with Bad Boy Entertainment. Her debut single, Me and You, is released. According to a November 2023, Combs' vicious cycle of abuse begins here. Ventura alleges years of physical, psychological, and emotional abuse. Now, this is the one that he blows up the car. Claims Combs forced her to purchase and take illegal drugs like cocaine, ketamine, ecstasy. He filmed her as he forced her to participate in sex with male sex workers in multiple cities for his own voyeuristic pleasure and a practice he called freak-offs, and that he beat her on many occasions in retaliation for talking to other men, often with witnesses present. 2007, Combs becomes marketing ambassador and stakeholder of Ciroc, vodka by beverage maker Diego. Sales of the vodka skyrocket, blah, blah, blah. 2007, he's got a big case. 2010, another big case.
Again, he just never been held accountable because of the money he made, the people who he, I mean, that grew as big-time celebrities. I mean, again, it's just like with the what's his name? R. Kelly. R. Kelly was not as smart. He wasn't a smart guy. He didn't know how, you know what I'm saying? He figured, okay, I'm a singer. I'm a singer. Oh, yeah. You know, it just, they let it go so long. Everybody's wondering, he's going to get caught one day. One day.
Well, and that what makes you think, though.
It took all this long from 1990 to whenever R. Kelly got convicted. It took that long. It went over their heads. Money, again, that money. Them parents won't say nothing as long as that money was coming in. And when he got broke and money won't coming in, then they wanted to start talking and complaining.
Because he came out with a song, He Saved Me or something. You know, he had like a whole, his music changed, kind of like he was leaning towards God.
Yeah, he was getting, But see, again, I used to always joke about it. I'd be like, man, R. Kelly go out there and fuck with these 15-year-old women and everybody get in the uproar, and then he come out with, I believe I can fly. You know, he a hit song, and it'll take everybody mind off of him fucking
well,
some
I've
little girl.
I've always said that about Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you know what?
That's Michael, a lot of fucked up allegations.
About Michael Jackson, I really believe
Michael, his childhood was robbed. He was robbed from his childhood because his dad was ruthless. He was tough on him, and he had his boys practicing, and when they weren't practicing music, they was doing gigs on school nights and stuff. He was robbed of his childhood. When a dude, you know, when a kid that gonna make a friend of a rat in the house and call him Ben and then write a song about it, he's fucked up.
Right, but I don't think he got fucked up from that. I think he was sexually traumatized. I think he has the same problem that Corey Feldman has. I think he has the same problem that Britney Spears has.
In the industry.
I think the industry fucked him. Yeah. And I think that it, you know, because Corey Feldman is that right? Yeah. Like, he's batshit crazy. And very sexually, you know, but they say when you're sexually traumatized, whatever age you were traumatized at, you almost stay in that age forever. And so I have no doubt in my mind, but I will also say this.
Barry Gordy.
I say this though, your traumas as a child end when you become an adult. And when you take the traumas of your childhood into your adulthood as crimes, you're now you're a predator. You're a victim until you're 18 in my eyes. Once you turn 18, you don't get to be a victim anymore. You can't go and turn that on to somebody else. It sucks. It's sad.
I don't know. I believe if it's not handled, if it's not addressed, then it can linger on until your adult years.
No, it does. It does linger on. But what I'm saying is you're held accountable regardless. I don't care what happened to you as a kid.
I'll give you an example.
Once you turn 18, you're held accountable for your actions going forward.
I'll give you an example.
So if you were diddled and then you diddle somebody at 18, you're a predator now.
Right. Can I say something before you say that?
Yeah.
So why would you want to diddle somebody if you were diddled and you diddle somebody unless you thought it was okay for them to diddle you?
Well, it's probably, I mean, I don't know because I wasn't diddled as a child, but I know that like sexual traumas and everything often leach out. You know, I'm not a psychiatrist or a doctor either, but I mean, there's enough cases that we've even covered on true crime over the last couple of years that people who endure sexual traumas or abuse often go on to be abusers themselves. Maybe it's because that's all they know and that's all they see.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was okay at the time, maybe for them to do it to somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if they feel like their dad got away with it or their uncle or their pastor got away with it, then maybe I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist.
To me, I think it's just like anything. It's just like if you get a scratch, you get a big bite, a dog bites you in your ass.
Yeah.
And you don't get it fixed. You don't, you know, take care of it.
Yeah.
Patch that wound up, you know, get you some alcohol, disinfect. Yeah. It's gonna get infected. It's gonna get bad.
Right.
I think it's the same way. I'll give an example, a personal one. I have a cousin who witnessed his dad beat his mom for all his life up until he was 18. And then at 18, his ass was abusing women.
Yeah.
I didn't arrest him, but I was one of the officers who came there when he done kicked in the girl door and beat her ass. And then when she said his name, I'm looking like, oh, damn, that's my cousin. You know, I let the other officers know. And, you know, I had to get out of her presence. Didn't want her to know, oh, the police is his cousin, you know. But when they finally got him, he had to go to the hospital. You know, I don't know if they whooped his ass or he was on drugs or whatever, but I went to go visit him and he busted out crying. I'm like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you putting your hands on women? And he said, man, you know how my daddy was. What you got to bring in for it? He was like, I grew up watching him put his hands on my mama years and blah blah blah. So now he doing it
right with you. Evidently they thought it was okay, or that's what they were
sure.
So if not, you wouldn't do that.
But like that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, you know, for me personally, I think Michael Jackson was personally abused, sexually traumatized as a child, most like these Nickelodeon stars we're going to talk about here shortly. However, it does not excuse you from your behaviors as an adult. It's sad. I can empathize with it. But no, you get to go to jail.
I think
you get to go. You get to be punished for it.
Like I said, if they don't get help for it, then I think it would, like you say, it will linger on into adults.
And we're going to see that. And so, like, when you see Amanda Bynes, and you just, so I had said when Amanda Bynes went down her whole thing after she went through Max Magazine, which I feel terrible about, because I bought that Max magazine and thought it was cool as shit. You know, this Nickelodeon star that I grew up with was now going into Max magazine. I just, in my 20s, I thought that was really cool. I see now in my 40s how damaged of a human being she was that she went to Maxim. And now that I see her, I have been saying since this whole podcast, since she started her own podcast, I was like, that girl was sexually traumatized. She was sexually brutalized. And the tweets that she puts out, the tweets that she's put out, Deadleg, if you'll over the next 5 or 6 minutes, well, I'll go back to it, but because we're going to the Nickelodeon stuff anyway, pull out some of those Amanda Bynes Facebook posts and tweets that she used to put out about getting fucked by her boss and things like that. So, I mean, it looks like it's true.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about porno stars? Do you think that they became porno stars because they were fucked when they was kids and traumatized and all of them?
I think a lot of them. Or, you know, or some kind of abuse, some kind of like maybe it was overbearing parents. You know, maybe, yeah, I know people who have had really strict parents when they were growing up, and their parents meant very well, but were very, very strict. And then all of their family members, there's something that like, they're all very like detached from the parents. They went through like these very weird, you know, these very weird 20 somethings, you know, where they had to find themselves and like kind of recreate their own identity. So I just think there are traumas.
It gotta maybe be, because sexual. I mean, cause who grew up and be like, what you want to be, little girl, when you grow up? I want to be a porn star. You know, Debbie Does Dallas. Or, you know,
I mean, we can even go into it with this Laverne chick that we're going to talk about, the payout of $500,000, who, you know, somehow, you know, gets wrapped up in these sexual deviancies with her police department. And her husband was, you know, allegedly in on it. And they were swingers and things like that. You know, was she sexually traumatized as a child? Like, what brought it out? Was... what kind of family upbringing did she have that led her to that? And we can talk about that here shortly. Go ahead, Deadleg. Bring up those texts. Read them out for us. Let me finish this Tootsie Roll that I popped in my mouth so unprofessionally.
I don't know that I could read these out loud, but they are... this is allegedly...
better to stop.
Read them. Read them.
If you want to fuck men, that's fine. That absorbs. But when you sexually abuse, assault, harass these men, you must face justice. White privilege at its best. John Travolta is a sexual monster. It bothers me that John Travolta is not being treated as Bill Cosby. John Travolta is a pervert. I know this. I love how upset people are getting over my life. You should get one. My parents are the ones tweeting on Amanda Bynes, leading this account. Please pray for me, my freedom, and chance to have control over my finances. This is me. I'm authentic, often imitated, but never duplicated. I refuse to be silenced. My friends know how to reach me. So this is an account that she had that when her other account was allegedly taken over by her parents.
So that was from her. She said that about John Travolta.
Yeah.
That's from her account.
But now I read one from one of her accounts that said, like my boss, you know, like something about having an abortion. Can you find the one where she tweeted about having an abortion at like 13 or something like that? I don't want to misspeak. There was a lot in that documentary, and I've gone down a big rabbit hole in the last 4 or 5 days. And there was a bunch of characters in that documentary. So I don't want to misspeak so much. So I'll just stop there until you find it. And if you don't find it, that's okay. Then maybe I was wrong.
Man, a lot of this stuff that we talk about, if it's dealing with kids, I blame the parents.
Okay.
No ifs, ands, or buts. It's the parents. Yeah. Because by law.
Wait, are we jumping into the Nickelodeon thing now?
Well, this is overall. This is for all of it.
Okay.
If the victim is a youth, if they're under the age of 18, the parents should be held responsible.
Well, let me ask you this: if your dog gets out of your house, let's say your dog, and not your dog, I don't even know if you have a dog. Yeah, let's just pretend you got a dog.
I love dogs.
You got a dog. Margaret comes to your house. She opens the door. Dog runs out, bites the neighbor. Whose fault is it?
Mine.
It's yours, right?
Yeah.
So I don't see how it's so hard for parents not to, like, that's how I see, like, you can come up with excuses all day. Well, Margaret opened the door and I didn't even know she was coming over. Doesn't matter. You raised a dog. Right. You brought a dog into this world. You opted not to train your dog, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever the things is, it's at the end of the day, extreme ownership, I guess, if you want to be cliche, it's extreme ownership. It's your dog. It's your responsibility.
Right. Because the words was used, fault and responsibility. I see it is his responsibility, but it's my fault that I opened the door.
I mean, I get it, but either way, I get it. But no, like at the end of the day, I still think he holds fault because then don't own a dog that's going to run out and go bite somebody and not pay to go get it trained. I mean, how many times, and I'm not saying you, but like how much money do you spend on your comedy career? How much money do you spend in travel? You know, some would argue, or I think a lot of the courts would argue.
It's just like at a restaurant, you order some food and you get food poison. You ain't going to sue the cook. It's going to be that establishment who owned that restaurant is going to be the one that's responsible for your meal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, so like, I agree with you on this one. And if we're jumping into the Nickelodeon thing really quick, I really would suggest that you go to ghostbed.com/wolfpack right now and find you a mattress that fits you. These are beds made in the good old USA, because after this little segment, you're going to need something more than just that lousy bed and pillow that you've been sleeping on forever, because it's going to be hard to sleep after this, especially if you watch that documentary, however many episodes it was, that four or that series was. You're going to need a little extra boost to go to sleep. And that's why we're proud to partner with ghostbed.com. Always say mental wellness starts with a good night's sleep. Ghostbed.com/Wolfpack, 50% off for first responders across the board. Again, went down to Ghostbed facility, walked through the facility, got to feel these beds with my own hands, see the research lab. I even went to their customer service department, which is separate from everything else. Just wonderful people who absolutely love and adore first responders. And so when they gave us a promo code for 50% off, and I had a conversation with him, I was like, look, dude, there's a lot of people in here that aren't first responders that listen. It's a podcast. It's not like it just goes out to cops. It's not like a cop radio station. And he said it would be too difficult for us to give, you know, we would have to like get their IDs and their badge numbers. If they're supporters of your show, they're supporters of law enforcement, that's good enough for us. Let's blanket this bad boy. Let's go for it. Ghostbed.com/Wolfpack. 50% off across the board. That's their pillow, their cooling sheets, their adjustable bases. They've got 0% down, 0% financing right now. And that's if you have P. Diddy credit. Head over to ghostbed.com/Wolfpack and get you 50% off today. Also, wellness company. End of days are coming. April 8th is approaching very fast. Some of you guys are believers in this Halley's Comet eclipse thing that's coming through and all the wax stuff, which we're going to cover next week because that's closer to the 8th. We're going to cover it next week about like what cities is it really crossing over? Is it crossing over these Ninevehs and Salems? And what does the Bible actually say? We'll break it down on the show and have some fun with this. However, if it is the end of days, or we're going to have this rolling blackout, you're going to want to have the wellness company pre-prescribe meds for whatever. Listen, you're going on a trip, you're in the wellness company, you get that teledoc, they're going to give you your malaria pills for your trip. They're going to give you all the pre-prescribed medicines right to your door. This is your survival medicine prescription kits. They have survival kits for travel. They've got just overall for like the next pandemic, ivermectin, your Z-Packs, your monoclonal antibodies. And we're talking, this is Dr. McCullough from the Joe Rogan Show, one of the most important podcast episodes in the history of man, was that episode that came out, I believe, on like January 1st or January 3rd. And it was so, it hit the industry so bad that they had to draw up all that Joe Rogan inward stuff to try to slander him, because that was literally the most important podcast of all time, I think, truly in my heart. And if you really want to have a good grasp on what COVID was or is, that was the episode to find it on. That was Dr. McCullough from the CDC, or what, you know, go listen to the, but anyway, he's in on this project with Dr. Drew. Head over to the wellness company, use that promo code Wolfpack, get you 10% off. And it's a good peace of mind. We also have last rad read for the night, factormeals.com. Good health starts with a good night's sleep, also starts with a good diet. If you want to get jacked like I'm getting, listen, I'm 207 pounds. That's the first time I've been under 207 pounds since I left the police department. I've lost about 18 pounds since December. I'm up on that Factor Meals, but listen, I'm going with the protein heavy because this is meal planning. You can do calorie conscious. You want to lose weight, protein heavy. If you want to get, you know, jacked and ripped, you can, which I'm not jacked and ripped, but my goal is to get there.
You got titties.
I got titties. Actually, somebody the other day said I had a little bit of back fat, kind of, you know, kind of hit me in the feels. But at the end of the day, I've got five kids and a wife, so I don't really care. Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to help me with my jujitsu. But anyway, Factor Meals, they got the breakfast shake. So if you're on the go, but as a first responder, meal planning is time consuming. That's time you could have been court prepping. It's time you could have been hitting the gym, going to jujitsu, getting your shooting practice, your dry fires in. Head over to factormeals.com. Use that promo code Wolfpack50, 50% off. Head over there right now and go ahead and start. Don't wait till next year and have like a New Year's resolution. Start right now. Get ready for the summer. What are you waiting on? Get jacked like me. Look at December, January, February, March. That's about 90 days. I'm down 18 pounds. I feel good. Everybody's saying I look great. Everybody. I mean, the paparazzi's just.
Yeah, it's looking great, but I was noticing you've only breathed like maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
Since you've been talking.
I don't need to breathe.
That's why his face reads.
I don't need to breathe. He's like,
I do it fast because I want the ad reads to go by fast. I got you. But I got to get a lot of information out. Because I can't short them. I can't shortcut
talk
them.
Talk faster than me.
Dude, no way.
Yeah, you do. No, I breathe.
No.
I breathe. I pause.
No. No. No.
I breathe through my anus and exhale through my mouth. Anyway, head over to factormeals.com. Promo code Wolfpack50. Get you 50% off. Okay, let's get into the Nickelodeon thing then. This is... what's the name of it that we just watched?
It's called Quiet on Set.
Quiet on Set. I'm with you on this one. What you're referring to with the parents being at fault,
yeah,
is in the second episode, third episode, yeah. The woman says that she received dick pics from the producer on email for her daughter. Her daughter saw this. She did not call the police. The mother did not call the police because she felt like a bad mom for allowing her daughter to be in that situation. So you have now publicly admitted on a documentary that it is literally all about you and what somebody else is going to think about you. And she's still saying this with conviction as if she did the right thing, to which I say, go fuck yourself. You were a bad mom, and tell everybody that you were a bad mom and tell yourself you were a bad mom.
She did
in that moment.
She removed her child from that. She did do that part. As far as telling them, okay, so the other kids won't have to go through that. Okay,
right.
She didn't. Right.
Right. And you're a bad person. You want, and here's the problem with these people. They want fame so bad, they will sell their souls so quickly. I've been saying this. I've seen this with my kids personally, and I'm not going to go down that route. That's why I won't allow these energy drink sponsors to try to sponsor my child. Everything that tries to sponsor my kid, I try to dive in there and see what's going on before I allow my kid to rep it.
Right.
And some of this stuff is questionable, but it's not questionable to my morals or my standards. But I have a limit, and I know where that limit. I know where my line is. And if a company tries to cross the line, I've already bailed out on my kids' podcasts. Gromit Vomit was doing great, right? Ryan Sheckler took my kids to Camp Woodward, Pennsylvania. My kid, these kids got to meet Bam Margera. These kids got to meet all these pro servers. It was going great. But you know what happens, right? The money starts to come in. Then they start coming up with these contracts. You shall do this. You shall be at this event. You shall do this. You know, I was taking my kids to a concert. I don't have anything against Guar. Right. I listened to him as Guar, but was it good for me to take my children to a Guar concert? Right. You know, but in the moment I was like, well, you know, these sponsors want them to go, you know, like we'll just, you know, but it was a bad move. I'm willing to call myself out on that too. Like I probably shouldn't have done it just to help my kids. And so we've kind of cut ties with the podcast. I didn't take my ball and go home. I let the other parents like do their thing. But with my kids growing in their, you know, they're phenomenal skateboarders at such an early age. I mean, my son today, you can go on his Instagram. It's Duke Tansy. You can go on August Tansy or Elgin Tansy or Tansy Fam and watch all of their videos. But I mean, he just kickflipped this 7 stair today. It was, you know, they went bull riding. They rode rodeo bulls. But so here's the thing though. It's like, I know that social media, they need it to get where they want to go.
Right.
And to follow their dreams.
But like you said, though, there should be some limitations. If the parents need to be that manager, they need to guide them.
Yes.
They need to be that buffer between a professional agent and the child. Because you can slick talk kids and shine a turd up, and they will think it smells lovely because you done shined it up. You done shined it up.
I'll go one step further. If you're going to manage your kids as a parent, then you need to go find a real friend that's already really successful. A Mike the Cop, a Nick Palmisano. You need to find somebody else. And then you need to find another person that's going to hold you accountable. You need to find you a dead leg or a, you know, a John Bates or so you need to find, you know, I've surrounded myself with people of good moral character. I got a Navy SEAL buddy actually who called me about the Guar thing. He was like, bro, you think it was good for your kids to go to a Guar concert? Like, I get it. It's cool. Like, I'm not trying to take away from it, but like, you think that's healthy for your kids to go see? I was like, well, to be fair, we didn't stay. Like, we did the behind the scenes. We got some clips inside the thing. They did the crowd surfing, and then we bounced before all the real crazy shit happened. He's like, yeah, but like, what do you think the other kids are going to think? And he was right. You know, I can argue with him all I want. So what I would say is, like, if you're going to manage your child into some kind of social media fame, one, you have to manage it. And by manage it, you have to be in it.
Right.
Like, you got to see who these people are that are messaging your child. But, you know, on this Nickelodeon thing, they were talking about closed sets to the parents.
Yeah,
what?
Well, see, I'll give you an example in the comedy world. I had a kid. I knew a kid who was real funny, 14 years old.
White guy?
Yeah. But you don't know. Oh, he won't from around here.
But he was
funny, but his dad wanted a comedian, but his mom and dad was like, I want to put him in the club and let him, you know, go up. And it was like an open mic thing.
Right.
And he said, but I'm going to have my son stay on the outside until it's his time. When it's his time, he come in there, get on stage, do his jokes, and then he leaves.
Right. Good.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He won't in there to hear other comedians do their vulgar set. Mm-hmm. He won't in there to see the bar, people getting alcohol and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he managed him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and the kid is real good and he still want to be a comedian, but up until the time he's 18, and have say so in it. His parents is managing him and doing, you know,
these Hollywood parents.
They don't do that.
A lot of them don't.
You know, they were saying on this Hollywood set, and I know it because it takes discipline, and most people don't have discipline. But I have met, you know, we've all met the soccer mom, right? That's the pageant mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all met that athletic that child who mediocre, you know, is halfway decent. But their parents are looking for that next sponsor. They're cutthroat. They're going to burn bridges. They're going to go after you. They're going to talk behind people's back. Listen, man, last year with the kids competing, we took a lot of time off competing because last year I felt like I was fighting all those parents. Like, I was like, I'm not going to be one of those. But then me fighting those parents made me join allies with other parents. And it's not healthy, man. It's not healthy to push your kids like that. Luckily, I was good enough to not get my kids involved. So my kids don't even know, you know? But you know, I was present for two adults, dads fighting at a contest. It was very embarrassing, you know, for them. And, I just was like, you know what? Everybody wants to be famous these days. And when you look at this Nickelodeon thing, it probably wasn't too far different there, but you notice the theme here was that most of the parents were divorced. And it was one parent trying to go all in with this child, and they didn't have any boundaries. And if you watch this documentary, and I encourage all of you to go watch it, Quiet on the Set, you know, you hear them saying that one part of the documentary where she was like, well, if you just spoke up, you know, that would be it. That'd be the end of your career. So you just kind of dealt with it.
And I, you know, don't want to throw the race card in there, but we've talked about it before. We was like,
oh, yeah,
and even the
black
kid,
mom, yeah,
he was like, the dude even said, he said, I felt like I was the token because I was the only black up there, and then I was a black male, the only black male, and then it was a black female, and they was treated a little different. Old boy said even the guy that was the sexual predator kind of side eyed him, and he was real cautious with him, you know.
Well, and you know what? Looking back at it now on the documentary, he's the one that had the mom.
Yeah,
his and then mom. He even said, though, if you caught it, in a few scenes later, he says, you know, I think that it was more or less they let us go because of the way my mom
Was
da-da-da-da. But here we go. If you're a sexual predator and you got a mom that's asking a bunch of questions and saying, hey, Sally, Jesse, and
Raphael,
we're not going to tolerate our kids going onto a closed set. Why do they need a closed set with no parents?
Right.
What would be the purpose of that? And they'd be like, yeah, why? And they're like, okay, well, that bitch has got to go because I can't diddle these kids.
Right.
If she's going to be riling everybody up, you know, but yeah, you're right. So like they got rid of the only mom that gave a fuck. And exactly. That's where my line is. So, you know, on Tansy Fam, it says like Christian family, you know, and I literally had somebody that was helping us because we've got photo shoots that we're doing now almost like weekly for sponsors and things like that. And, you know, they're on a skateboarding team, which is great. And you know, there's just some other things that they're working on. And I don't know if my kids will ever be that good, but they are the best at their age on the East Coast. They're in the top 20 on the East Coast skateboarding under 11 years old. There's just nobody else out there. And so they're getting a lot of great opportunities. And one guy told me, he's like, hey man, I don't know if I would put Christian family up there because, you know, not everybody aligns with that. I said, well, do you say that to the guy that has pronouns? Because I would argue that's the same shit. You know what I mean? Like, how about this? I don't want my kids to rep any brand that has a problem with them being Christians, because they are going to abide by Christian morals and values to the best of their abilities first before they are going to do anything else. And so, like, if we have something that's, you know, that doesn't fall in those, you know, like if nicotine or vape, or energy drinks,
it's not like they out there, you know, promoting vulgar stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But which is hard though, too, because it's like we're comedians, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, sometimes, and that was the hard part about that Nickelodeon thing. Right. Like some of that stuff was vulgar.
Right.
And inappropriate.
But it was funny.
But I also get that you're trying to write a comedy. And so some things do need to be a little bit vulgar, but the glory hole, that's too far.
I'll give you the glory hole scene was too far. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's Snoop Dogg. He has a movie out called Underdog or something.
Underdogs. Is that a movie or a series?
It's a movie.
Is it good?
It's a movie. It's good.
Okay, I'll watch it.
And it's reality.
Should my kids watch it?
It's a lot of profanity. If they used to hearing.
Yeah, I think so.
If your kids are used to hearing adult profanity, because that's what it was. And the kids were cussing. But to me, because I worked as a school resource officer in school, middle and high school. Kids cuss. I've been around and hear kids cuss. They might didn't cuss at me, but in their conversation, I'm hearing it. I'm like, boy, these are some little Richard Pryor running around here. They just cussing their ass off. It has a real good moral. Right. But Snoop talked to them kids like they were adults, you know.
I get shit on for this all the time. That same Navy SEAL guy, he's gotten mad at me for my foul language, but I'm not going to drop the foul language. You know, if God comes to me and wants to work that out or make me feel convicted, go for it. But I feel like those are just words.
Right.
You empower your words. Yeah. I don't empower. I don't think any words are off the table. There's societies and cultures out there. Swearing didn't exist in the Bible, as far as I know. Let's show me something that shows me.
I mean, it didn't have bad words.
Right. But as far as swear,
they had crass talk.
As far as like. Swearing on, it's like telling you to swear on something.
It's not swearing and curse words. Right. Like that's not what they mean by it in the Bible. So, but like, you know, I mean, I get the crass talk argument and I'm not saying that it's great, but you know, I can tell my kid, give you a great example. We went skateboarding around downtown Raleigh and I told them, hey, we're going to be on the sidewalks. Y'all aren't in school because you're homeschooled. People aren't going to like that you're on the sidewalks. Whenever somebody comes, the three of you need to pick a side and get to it and let that person pass. So they don't think you're just some kind of skater punks. Well, it seemed like the first five people that walked by, I was like, get on the side, the other side, everybody pick a side. So I was like, huddle up. For now on, we're going to move to the right side. Wherever we're at, it's going to be the right side because y'all are having a hard time figuring out which side to go to. And I can't have one on one side and two on the other side.
Right.
So for now on, everybody go to the right side. So we go about five more people, you know, where I'm like, everybody get to the right side. Your other right. And it's just getting ridiculous. Well, they kind of start figuring it out and we get around to the other side of Raleigh. We're almost done. We've been doing this for about an hour and a half, 2 hours at this point. And this gentleman's walking by, he's already having a bad day. I can already tell that he's got to stick up his ass. So I'm like, I'm going to get ahead of this. He's already looking at these kids like, what the fuck are they doing on the sidewalk? And he's going to say some shit. So I'm going to get ahead of it. And I'm like, but wait, he's way out. I'm like, boys, get to the side. Two of the boys get to the side. One of them starts drifting back out. So now I got two in the middle, one on the side. And I'm like, get on the side of the road. Now the guy's getting closer. The other one gets to the side. Now I got one in the middle. Then my oldest son's like, fuck it, he's on the other side, let's both move to the other side, so at least we're all on the same side. Right. So he's got they're all up in the fucking sidewalk at this point. So I go, stop, get the fuck off the sidewalk. And they're like, and the dude was like, hey man, you ain't gotta talk to those kids that way. It ain't gotta be like that. It's just a sidewalk.
You were gonna say something.
I'm like, bitch, you were gonna say something regardless, motherfucker. But hey, that's fine. But you know what? I said 1,000 times, and we talked about it. Sometimes you just gotta tell these kids
and that's
to
true.
Fucking and, get and off see, the fucking and see, sidewalk.
Me by them being your kids, I would be like, man, fuck you. They my kids. I would have said they my kids. They know me. They're my kids. Fuck you. Keep your ass a walker. Next time I let run your ass over.
Right.
I know.
But I keep walking. So you know, listen, you know, the swearing thing and but you know, sometimes I feel like it, when you talk to a kid, I think people baby their kids way too fucking much. Like I think people hold their kids back from their potential. I mean, these kids back in the old days were building things and working on high rises at 11 and 12 years old. Now we got 16-year-olds that can't change their fucking oil. So, you know, I'm trying to bring back that whole, you know, so I've tried to give my kids tons more freedom, but I talked to them more or less like they're adults. But I also coddled them as children.
And see, my nephew just this morning, he 5 years old. He'll be 6 in June 1st. And my sister was talking and she called me. And she was like, hey, she was on her way coming in from work. She was like, hey, can you wake him up and tell him go ahead and start getting dressed? You know, his shirt there, you know, it's all laid out. I said, okay. So I tell him and I said, Jace, you got your clothes on? Yes, sir. All kind. I said, you got your socks on? Yes, I'm putting my wife beater on right now. I said, he 5 years old. What the fuck you know about a wife beater? And when my sister came home, I was like, hey, what did he know about a wife beater? He said he putting on his wife beater. She said, that's what they call. I said, you know, he's 5 years old.
Yeah, listen, all my kids call it a wife beater. I mean, what else do you call it?
Every time you see a man that beats his wife, excuse me, most people have on TV. Have yeah,
right. Oh, I know that.
But I always would think of like Black Snake Moan, where what's his ass wearing the wife beater.
But it was just funny. They hear him say that, yeah, that's I'm putting funny. On my wife beater right now. That's like,
so cool.
5 years old.
Yeah, so, I mean, go and watch this whole Nickelodeon thing. I think it's a discussion worth having, at least with your own family. Something different. Yeah, he said, wait, it's called something different?
Well, yes,
maybe undershirt. Like an undershirt. yeah, I mean, like, you know, but listen, even if your kids aren't on social media or whatever, you got to have conversations with your kids about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. What you're willing to do for your baseball team, what you're willing to do for your soccer team, and to get your, you know, like if you're giving up that pussy as a mom to the coach just so you can get your kid to play, I mean, you're kind of a piece of shit. And you should probably do better. But anyway, and by the way, I know somebody that was doing that. So she was like, I really don't want to bang them, but I also want my kids to start. And I was like, yo, what? Anyway, bizarre stuff there. Let's jump over really quick to Laverne. Miss Laverne, as you guys know her, or as we've been calling her, this is coming from News Channel 5 Nashville. This whole case happened out of NBC. Out of Tennessee. This is where the Laverne officer had sex with many of her coworkers, most of them being supervisors. The city of Laverne settled in a civil lawsuit filed by former police officer Megan Hall in connection with the police department's sex scandal. Hall's attorney said that he was pleased with the $500,000 settlement. The disturbing details came from not one, but two investigations last year, finding evidence of sexual activity between Hall and other officers, which, by the way, is not a crime within the department, and it led to the federal civil rights lawsuit, one which the city settled last week. Are you satisfied with the settlement? Absolutely, her attorney said. This was her decision. She wanted to put this in the past and move forward with her life. I'm sorry. You're not a victim. You broke up marriages. You seduced dudes. Dudes seduced you. I don't give a. I don't care what their rank is or what their structure is. You knew exactly what you were doing. You gave up that pussy, and now you're getting paid $500,000. Like, just take it on the shoulder. You're kind of a whore. You're kind of a slut. Just own that. Did some slutty shit.
But
who cares?
But you know the thing.
It's 2023. Nobody gives a fuck.
2024.
I'm gonna tell you. 2023 when I have.
Tell you what I was told when at my swearing in day on my first day on the job as a police.
What did they say?
Don't touch that.
No, no, I don't want even do that.
Stay away from the nurses.
Coming, yeah, I think I came. I basically transitioned from the military. I gave up, took off one uniform and put on the other one and kept it moving. I didn't have no lag or nothing. So, and I was still staying on a military post when I did my transition from military full-time army going into law enforcement. And that uniform, that badge, power.
Yeah.
And one guy, he told me this and I never forget it. He said, That badge will get you pussy, and that pussy will take your badge.
Mm. Ooh,
yeah,
that was tight.
Yeah. And I always, when I was thinking what he was saying, until you know you start hearing these stories, you be like, dude, you know he done lost his badge over some getting out there sleeping with other women, married women, or co-workers' wives, or whatever, you know, cheating on his wives or whatever, and. The badge will draw women to you, just like the military uniform.
Yeah, but we've seen it. We've seen it time and time. You get any kind of girl that kind of puts out in the department, and all the dudes get fucking thirsty. But she's thirsty, too. That's what starts it. You know, when a girl bangs two or three dudes in the department, dudes start shooting that shot.
But that's human needs, though.
It's not having any sexual discipline. Now, listen, I tell my wife all the time, I could be a whore. I'm probably a whore at heart. Like there are lots of things that I see,
you're
and I would like.
Your wife. She'll whoop your ass.
No, she won't. She's like 100 pounds. So
man,
what?
Them be the cats
she,
that.
They ain't got jump no on dog
your,
in her.
They
dog.
Jump on your
she
ass.
She ain't got no dog in her. Yeah, I mean that. I mean, other than like, she's got a lot of true crime knowledge, and she's really smart. Like, I could see her killing me in my sleep.
She's gonna be barbecue grilling his ass.
Yeah, hey, Jay. Yeah. I don't know
what yeah. Would you like some spaghetti? Like,
We said, where Eric at?
Have some more chili.
Damn, this is this
you crunch on like a wedding ring. You're like, ow, ooh. You know?
Get Alfredo.
Is this a piece of hair like this? Look like a mullet hair.
Looks like a mullet. You know, I got whore tendencies, but you know what? It's called sexual discipline. And I get, you know, like, right, if we got discipline to go to the gym, right? And you say, I'm going to go to the gym 4 days a week. We know that if you stray away from whatever it is, if you don't have discipline, then you're not going to go to the gym for four days a week more than a couple of days. The thing is what happens when you don't go to the gym?
Paying for nothing.
Right. You work yourself back into it. Right. Because you have to have some kind of discipline. So if you are a sexual deviant, you've got to try to practice some sort of discipline. You don't just let yourself go. I'm sorry, but when you fuck five supervisors in like a 1 or 2 year span of time, you know, in a 16 man or whatever department, 60 man department, when you're fucking like a quarter of the department and you're like, you just don't have any discipline. Well, that's on you, bitch.
I mean, it's
who?
Did she got kids?
No.
She didn't have any.
No, but and then, like she tried to come out. I guess her boyfriend's left her. I don't know that. Josh, has her boyfriend left her yet?
Husband? Supposedly they were swingers. And he was
right. I think that he left. But I think he like recanted that. See, they were like super religious.
I'm going to tell you what her fault is. You don't eat where you shit.
Right.
A lot of dogs. And I have a dog, big ass dog. He's be in his cage. You open the door to let him out. To go poop, whatever, you know. You look, I put his dog food on one side. On the side I know that he gonna eat and drink. On the other side in the back corner is where he shit at.
Mm-hmm.
He will not lay down over there either. He'll lay closer to his food.
Don't sleep where you before shit. Don't right. where you shit.
So it's the same principle, same thing. If you at work, you don't sleep with your coworkers because they're gonna talk, first of all. They're gonna
and
talk.
You don't fuck
they're
gonna five share. Of them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean,
like, that's a lot.
Just swinging.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you're a swinger, how about we not fucking? I mean, listen, let's just try not to be swingers either. Like, let's have some fucking sexual discipline, you know? Jesus. And if you are swinging, don't put it all over the internet that you're swinging and getting all this other shit and doing your OnlyFans and all this other deviant bullshit. You know, like, you know, work with your shit with your wife and your spouse and y'all figure out your kinks on your own. But like, putting that shit out there is not healthy, and it's not going to do your kids any justice. It's not going to do your marriage any justice. It's not going to help your marriage.
What did you
marriage.
Say about somebody said it was religious or something?
Well, Laverne, she said like they were. Am I wrong on that? She was raised real religious or something. We covered this story last year.
Those be the main freaks.
Wasn't he the preacher's son?
Be in the church.
Deadlight, are you out there?
I think, well, I'm looking down to see if the marriage part. So I think they're still married. I can.
Okay, but isn't he like the pastor's son?
Those are the main preachers, man. Youth pastors and all them. Yeah, there's a whole list. Somebody got on Facebook.
Actually, my wife lost her virginity to a pastor's son.
See, that's what I said.
My wife.
Okay. They.
I was the pastor's son. I'm just kidding. I wasn't.
I was going to say, I met your daddy. Your daddy don't.
You lost your virginity a long time ago.
Your daddy don't fit no pastor. I'm sorry. I love the dad. He's funny to me. He's cool.
Yeah. But, all right. Last story of the night. We get out of here. By the way, you guys have been awesome in the chats. Will Cray, Davey, we appreciate you guys so much. She said, Davey says her and her husband are swingers. I don't know what the other word is. A-F-A-I-K. They're swingers. I don't know.
Her and her husband.
Afiak. It looks like an acronym, but.
As far as I know.
Damn, you got it. Okay. So they're swingers. Yeah, but listen, just because you're a swinger, Davey, doesn't mean you can go to your work site and fuck five people and ruin their marriages and ruin their careers. Like, go be a swinger in another town outside of your fucking job. You know what I'm saying? I'm not yelling at you.
Here's my thing. She ain't put a gun to the motherfucker's head. They went up in it.
Girl puts it out, there's gonna be a lot of dudes that are gonna take it.
Exactly.
You don't even have to be that.
Exactly. Good. But where's their discipline at? Right.
They don't have any.
Exactly. But so we can't put it all on her though.
No, but she don't get 500,000 and they don't get shit.
Well, I mean, shit, they the one that they shouldn't have gone. They well, the ones were married. But she was single. She might have been had a boyfriend.
Why did she get $500,000?
And why did she get $500,000?
Why did she get $500,000?
That's my question. Why did she? Didn't she get fired or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Or something over.
I think they all did.
Because it's civil rights. It says her civil rights were violated. So what
here, I'll go and read the article. Go and read the article before we go into it really quick.
Her husband was the son of a pastor.
Boom. I fucking knew it. Well, I got granted. Okay, let's see here. No woman should have to ever endure this type of abuse. You blew a dude in the locker room. You had a threesome on his fucking boat with his wife, I think, in one of these cases. I mean, these were like,
she was in a male dominated industry.
Get the fuck out of here, you crazy bitch. What happened to me in Laverne Police Department? I can't even fucking read this. You guys got me pissed. Laverne Police Department should never allow that to happen to anyone. They should have hired your crazy slut ass to go in there and slut up the whole place. And listen, I'm glad that you exposed these other dudes who don't have any sexual discipline. Fuck all of you guys. Get all of you out of there. And your wife should be happy that you found out now before you have even more kids or you spend even more money. Like, she did you a favor. Those guys obviously didn't really love you if that's what they're doing. But this bitch was having threesomes with these motherfuckers. She was blowing folks.
Keep reading it.
I think for Megan and other females in male-dominated industries, it's unwittingly a victory for her and others, says Mansfeld. That's her attorney. There is no admission of guilt by the city, but they did agree that Megan be paid $500,000. I mean, that's just to get her to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, the city.
The city's going to pay it off.
They just want to pay it off and get it over with.
Listen, this bitch ain't innocent. I mean, listen, hey, you want to fight with me in the chats about it? Let's go. Like, if you guys have some information where I'm wrong, present it to me and I'll put my foot in my mouth. I got no problems doing this. But the way I see it and the way the facts are presented to me, she's batshit crazy. Will Gray says I get basically zero tail and my standards are higher than she.
But see, what if the shoe was on the other foot, Eric? If that was me and I fucked 5 to 6, 7 female officers.
I don't think you should get paid $500,000 for it.
But that's the thing, though. We're not going to tell first. I mean, yeah, we might tell, but we're not going to play victim. We're going to be like, yeah, okay, I knocked off 4 or 5 coworkers. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see. Like, we covered this case a year ago. But there's nothing in this case. I mean, she literally blew one of the dudes in the bathroom, which is kind of fucking gross.
Was there anything in writings? I guess not the moral, but was there something that saying?
Well, yeah, they were fucking on duty.
Oh, shit.
I think there's like some infidelity.
Yeah, she was
talking to her to get $500,000. I still don't get that part.
I don't either.
I mean,
she got caught. That was the problem. Exactly. Not a victim. She got caught. If they didn't get caught, they would keep doing it.
Exactly.
But how does, but why does she get 500,000?
Well, Fulkinator seems to think she's a prostitute. That's why. I'm just kidding.
She was working undercover.
Fulkinator chat says she was a prostitute.
She was doing a weed and seed deal.
You know, but I mean, this chick was knocking him off, man. And like, hey, listen. Just you got caught doing whore things. Just admit that you're a whore and let your coworkers admit that they're whore. Publicly shame all of you. You got the public shaming. I'm good with that. And just go fuck off. Like, I mean, I don't, the $500,000. Hey, listen, if I got $500,000 and I knew I was a whore, and she knows she's a whore. Look, can you just take your $500,000 and go away? You don't go, nobody deserves to be treated like that. Look, and I'm a victim for my whore tendencies.
She got more money than the dude that got beat up by them five officers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that dude's dead.
Yeah, he did, but the family still can sue. Wrongful death, I mean.
Sure,
sue.
But you think that they're probably going to get a lot more than $500,000.
Wow.
We ever, hey.
I bet you that family gets
a lot. You know how they don't. You know how they do.
How do they do?
You know how they do. Sometimes they don't, man. They'll take that.
But wait, really, PD paid out like 30 grand for a dead dog.
They will lowball your ass to get you to take it. You can ask for $10 million. And then you'd be like, well, they settled out of court for $375,000.
Margaret, could you please on camera put your hand on my leg or something like that so I can see you for $500,000 and tell everybody I shouldn't be treated that way?
No.
Damn.
Because my thing, I'd be like, look, what you going to sue? You ain't going to get shit because I ain't got shit. What you sue?
I need somebody to sexually abuse me so I can sue you for $500,000.
But here's the thing. You know, when we was in the military, well, I was infantry, and we played practical jokes.
Sure.
Some of the guys played practical jokes that went a little too far. We were like, man, fuck, if that happened to me, hey, we gonna be up in here fighting.
Guilty.
I mean, we had guys when I was in Panama, they dude was sleeping, fell asleep, and they tied his ass to his cot. Mm. He fucked around and laid on his stomach. And they tied his ass with duct tape, had him taped up, and then they took a cigar, pulled his pants down.
Oh.
He had on shorts. Shorts we used to wear? Little ass button.
Yeah, yeah.
They pulled it down and took some daggone a red marker and drew a face and took a damn cigar and stuck it in his ass and took pictures, was taking pictures.
Oh,
and
this is
back in the day when we had the camera.
That's gross, you know, and I would murder somebody for doing that to me. But P. Diddy's in our chats right now. It's the real P. Diddy, I'm pretty sure, because there's a picture and it's the internet. And he says, come party with me. But he spelled come, C-O-M-E, instead of C-U-M. Never mind. It's not the real. If it was a real P. Diddy, it would have said C-U-M, party with me. Damn it, P. Diddy.
A couple of million.
No, that's a couple of million. It's not P. Diddy because he said come, C-O-M-E. You know the real Diddy. Diddler would have said, C-U-M, party with me. Right. You know what C-U-M?
Send me a flight.
How old's Margaret? And you're like 45. He's like, how old? And you're like 35. He's like, how old? You're like 22. He's like, how old? You're like 17. He's like, I'm on a flight. I'm on my way.
I couldn't read it fast enough.
I mentioned swallow for 500 and P. Diddy appears. the white one gonna be first. Wait, which white one? Because he's J. Darrell White.
No.
Oh, right.
They ain't talking about skin color.
That racist motherfucker. I guess if P. Diddy was gonna take ass, you think he would take a white ass or a black ass?
Oh, he'd get you first.
Yeah.
He'd be first one.
Yeah, I get that pretty face. Yep. Smooth face.
He gonna affirmative action.
He wants his reparations out of my beehole.
Who is you? He said you.
Oh, P. Diddy, you son of a bitch.
He said you.
You son of a bitch.
Eric.
Guys, we had so much fun. Tupac's Revenge. That should be the name of our next group chat.
He said, what, P. Diddy, what?
Tupac Revenge.
I'll do you like Justin.
Oh, I'll do you like, oh.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber.
One of those.
I take a record deal. You can get it. You have them for the record deal. I give you both of them.
I just want to be famous, so whatever it takes, Pete.
I'm waiting for takes, New Diddy. Edition to come out with some shit. Because, you know, they was kids.
Who?
New Edition. I'm waiting for Bobby Brown to come out with some shit.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all next week. Hey, don't forget, we got True Crime tomorrow, Tuesday night. If you haven't gone back and listened to that Ray Lewis episode that we did on the sports show, John and Jason from One More and I'm Out of Your Podcast, they covered the whole Ray Lewis murders. Absolutely phenomenal podcast. Anti-Hero has a new podcast coming out with Marcus Luttrell exposing Marcus Luttrell. They have like undercover SEALs in there to expose this shit. They went so hard on this podcast. You guys are going to absolutely love it. What a great show. So make sure you head over to the Anti-Hero podcast. This Wednesday, we've got more news to cover, all the political news that you can take. And then Friday, we come back with our case breakdown. We got a guest from Officer News. Daniel Carter. Yep. Daniel Carter on Friday for a breakdown. So that's going to be good.
This Thursday, your boy will be opening for Tommy Davidson.
Oh,
I'll be with Tommy Davidson. As you know, Tommy Davidson in Rocky Mount,
North Carolina.
He's actually on tour with Cat Williams Friday, they go into Greenville, South Carolina, and on his way, he's doing a comedy show and I'm on the show.
Nice.
So your tickets.
Good for you.
And then next Monday, I won't be here because I'll be in Lynchburg, Virginia, doing a comedy show.
That's
comedy
about you when he's
there.
Wait, are you?
So she won't have your
money. All right, guys, we'll see y'all. Have a good night. See you, P. Diddy. Good luck tonight. And guns up, giddy up, guys.